Hello, and welcome to Small Business Big Impact. I'm your host, J.Ann Guilfoy, the CEO of Meridian Credit Union. In our season finale, we're driving into the powerful intersection of mental health and entrepreneurship. As business leaders, it's crucial that we not only focus on the success of our organizations, but also prioritize the mental well-being of both ourselves and our teams. In my career, I have often prioritized the well-being of my staff. We all have personal challenges to deal with in our lives. Throughout my leadership roles, I've often prioritized the well-being of my team by creating an environment that is flexible, aiming for open communication and support for people. For me, it's all about making sure that my staff feel heard, valued, and supported, not just professionally, but personally as well. Great leaders don't have to be perfect. They have to be aware of how their actions can create reactions, both positive and negative. When we can get clear about who we are, what drives us, lead with humility instead of judgment, we create workplaces where people actually want to grow and contribute. Today's guest embodies that philosophy in everything she does. Elora Gartley is the founder of Nova Phoenix Counseling, a thriving psychotherapy practice with 3 locations across Ontario, with a growing staff and growing locations. She has found a niche between the intersection of counseling, business ownership, and consulting coaching. She started her career in social work, made the leap into entrepreneurship, and is now adding author to her list of accomplishments as she works on her first book. Hello and welcome to Small Business Big Impact. I'm your host, J.Ann Guilfoy, the CEO of Meridian Credit Union. Today, we're joined by a multi-talented entrepreneur who's making waves in the mental health space. Elora Gartley is a social worker, psychotherapist, and the founder of Nova Phoenix Counseling Services. With a passion for coaching and learning, Elora turned her private psychotherapy practice into a thriving business that now boasts over 50 compassionate and qualified team members. Welcome, Elora. I'm really excited to get into this conversation with you.
Thanks so much for having me. Really excited to be here.
So maybe talk a bit about the mission of your business and what inspired you to start it.
Yeah, it's a great question. So a lot of it actually comes from struggling with my own mental health growing up. Things weren't easy, right? Like it was actually pretty difficult for me. Like I had a lot of opportunity and privilege, but at the same time, things were really hard. I grew up with a lot of trauma and abuse, and ultimately that impacted the way my mental health was. And that got me into social work. For the longest time, I didn't realize that social work wasn't what I was doing. I was actually also doing business. So it was just kind of interesting for me to realize that I'm not only a social worker, but also an entrepreneur, was something that I've come to realize in the last few years as part of my identity.
When you began the business, I think like many entrepreneurs, you were doing it on the side, a side hustle while you still had another job. So can you tell us a bit about that experience and what were some of the challenges that you faced early on?
I had a really rich, diverse career throughout my 20s that I'm really fortunate to have. I worked with a lot of different nonprofit organizations and just really got to work with really diverse, vulnerable, marginalized populations. And it gave me such a good foundational experience to understand trauma and all the different things that people go through that I think goes back to what's rooted in my mission now is that I noticed so many long wait lists for not good quality services that really people needed. And I think that was a big part of why I got into expanding the team to where I did, because working at nonprofits, you see the need, but you can't always supply the support that's needed. So in private practice, I feel like I have more choice now and opportunity to give back versus having to wait for funding or something else, right? So I really like that because it makes me feel like I'm making a difference for kids like what I would have been like growing up.
Right. So a real desire to lead with purpose, right? And find a business that could fill a need that wasn't being served.
Yeah. I was actually talking about this the other day with some of my friends, like how lucky am I that not only do I get to have a successful business, but it's a business that's actually changing lives. So it's just kind of surreal every day to be able to do that.
So I understand that you opened your first office just prior to the pandemic. So just curious to know how you decided it was time to do that and how you raised the funds to get going.
Yeah. So working at a lot of those different nonprofit jobs, it was really hard in the beginning because like we were talking about working multiple positions to gain experience, I had to make a lot of sacrifices. So I was working multiple positions. So maybe I sacrificed sleep or maybe I sacrificed eating healthy or my relationships to really work hard to build experience and finances and save. So because I was working so hard in my 20s to build that experience, I was very fortunate that I was able to save up those funds for my first office. We're obviously also talking about a very different real estate market than the market now that we live in. But so the opportunities were different for sure. I mean, what I paid for a mortgage was the same as what I was paying for rent. So it made sense just to expand to that physical space. And my plan at that time actually wasn't even to hire any staff. It was just, oh, it makes sense to get this space because it's the same price to have a whole place rather than just one office and paying for that, right? And I was like, well, I could do it. So why not, right? And so I just kind of took that leap. And that office is kind of like our flagship office. And it's so busy now. COVID was actually a huge opportunity for us rather than a difficult thing because we had to renovate that space to add more offices in. So that was the other thing, is that we were able to add more offices too. So, yeah.
So you saved. So did you know you wanted to do this? Or was that just you were a person who just, you know, was trying to save their money? Because one of the things I've heard from others is it's difficult to get started because you don't have the money, but you were already in a position with some money to kind of put into it. So was it intentional that you put the were doing that? Or was it just, oh, I've got this money now, I can potentially do something else?
Initially, I think it was just, I have it, I might as well, because it makes sense. But now it's moving in a direction of, oh no, like, this is really cool as an investment, right? Like, to be putting into something that's also putting into something else, right? So now, that wasn't my initial plan consciously, but entrepreneurship actually like runs in my family. So I think it's in my blood and in my genes that no matter what, I was going to move in that direction consciously or not. So.
And so now you have three locations. That's amazing.
We're actually looking at a fourth. So hopefully we just sort of waiting for the right thing to come onto the market.
So what's the model that you've put in place? Like, are all the offices the same? They're just geographically spread out so that people can access them? Or maybe talk a bit about your business model.
Yeah. So two of the offices are for psychotherapy. And then the other one is actually what I've moved towards last year, which is more of a collective. So helping other small business owners get started. So I've started in the last year a different corporation as well, which is business coaching, renting out office space, making sure that people can get started themselves. I also offer clinical supervision for other therapists. So sometimes therapists will come to me not only for clinical supervision, but maybe other therapists will come to me for like advice on growing their practice. So one of the offices is more based on that now. And that's our Hamilton location.
And then how did you decide to split away from the core? What were you seeing that you decided I should do this office space rental or this business coaching piece?
Yeah. So two things. I mean, there's a large influx right now of new and qualifying therapists needing quality trauma-informed, trauma-based clinical supervision in the field. And then also just getting back in touch with a side of me that loves to teach and coach that I hadn't really connected with in a long time and being like, oh yeah, I love to do that. I initially actually, when I first applied to school to like study psychology, I also applied for teaching. So it's just kind of like also bringing in this other side of me that loves to teach and coach and help people and see them get it and see them succeed. Like, it's like the same with my clients, but with other business owners, it like really excites me. So that, I think, just seeing so many new therapists needing that quality direction really inspired me.
So that's a good news story that there's more therapists coming into the market, because I know that there's a shortage. So that's great. So how do you go about finding those that fit with you and your vision and your organization?
Yeah, I view everything from a relational lens, really. So how do I connect with this person? What's their energy like? What motivates them? Because I think if people are motivated by helping other people and it being client-centered, and if they're open, then I'm drawn to somebody who wants to learn, right? Like a sponge, right? Like, so I love a new therapist that wants to be relational, wants to learn about trauma, but maybe doesn't have the opportunities to get the training or things like that, right? So I really like people who are like eager and ready to do the work, but also independent. So those are some of the qualities that I might look for.
And have you had a lot of turnover since you started?
Honestly, not much. We've been open for 7 years now, wildly enough. We're going on our 8th year here. And I think we only had 5 people in that time turnover. So pretty low. And most of the time it's to go on to like open their own practice, which is amazing, right? We want to see people thrive.
And why do you think people stay? What is it about you and your organization that help people want to stay?
So I have worked at places that are pretty ableist. So they kind of view people as like numbers or like a way to make money rather than people with intrinsic value and experiences in unique identities that if you nourish and invest in them, they will therefore invest in you. So if my therapists are supported and seen and given all the support, then ultimately that kind of flows into the clients, right? And the reputation. So I think by making sure that I really nourish the therapists on my team in the way that they need, it allows them to do good work and therefore they're happy in their work. So I really think it's kind of like a top-down approach of like, if I'm in a position of power, how I treat the people underneath me to make sure that they are seen as genuine people who I invest in and give different opportunities and professional development, that they'll invest in me. So I have a lot of like fairness, equity, valuing diversity lens too, right? Like, just like, honestly, I view things through a social work lens all the time. That comes first, right? I'm a social worker first.
And so how do you create that judgment-free servant leadership kind? Like, what do you do to make that come to life?
I think for me, it is like inherent because of my own struggles with my mental health. I really felt a lot of judgment, shame, and validation growing up for my own mental health, a lot of like lack of understanding, isolation, and that was really painful. And because of that, I think it has allowed me to have so much compassion for other people, because I would never want somebody to go through what I went through. So like, I really know what it feels like to be in those extreme places mental health can lead us to. So because of that, it's actually just allowed to have like no judgment, because I know what it feels like to be there. And it just gives me empathy, really. Yeah.
And in these times that we're in, whew, so needed, right? With everything rattling around behind us.
Exactly. Yeah, acceptance,
the landscape,
right?
That we're in, I can imagine. So you've described entrepreneurship as jumping off a cliff and building an airplane on the way down. I love that. So what were some of the most significant risks you've taken when you started off, and how did they pay off?
Yeah, some of it was like, I always believed in myself, but I didn't always have, like, other people were hesitant for me. So others might have been like caution or like, but I knew I could do it, right? Like, I was working so many jobs. It was like, no, like, I think I could do this on my own. So the very first risk was just going out on my own. But really I did. So maybe the biggest risk is not trusting myself more. And I think I worked more jobs than I needed to initially, like really just like sacrificing sleep and other things for work and to build experience and save, right? And so I think one of the biggest risks was actually not trusting myself more to pay attention to my needs and believe that I could do it. But then also when I actually did get that first office, I would say that was a risk, right? Because I was really going out on my own with this new physical space. But then other people believed in me. One of my longest standing staff was the first one to reach out to me and be like, hey, like, would you ever consider bringing somebody else on? And I was like, no, I hadn't thought about that, but sure, let's try it. Right. And so I think that was my next risk, was then being like, okay, like trusting somebody else too. If I couldn't trust myself, how do I now also trust somebody else and bring them on? Right. And then things started getting busy and we were flowing. And I think from there, and then one of the next risks would have been like going into clinical supervision. So just taking on more responsibility, right? So not just I feel strong with supporting clients in my team, but then also like ethical dilemmas and bigger stuff is another risk, right? So just more clinical responsibility, I would say, is the other one too.
That's great. So I think you've said this a couple of times, but you said the stress of not sleeping, not eating, going all in, working a number of jobs. So you've obviously had some lived experience, which I think is common in entrepreneurs, particularly in those early years. So what advice would you give others who want to do what you're doing?
Yeah, therapy. Absolutely. I think therapy was a huge guide for me during that time to continue to navigate what was showing up for me in different ways. That was really big. So having my own support system. And then friends and family have honestly been huge. I am so lucky to have the circle of support I do around me. And now I've gotten, like, I have a really high tolerance for how much work I will put on myself. But what I've really gotten better at lately is trusting others and allowing, like, help. So delegating a little bit more and utilizing my support system has really been valuable as well.
Yeah, having 60 people, that's a significant number of people.
Absolutely.
So at what point, what was the kind of the tipping point for you where you were like, oh, there's just too much. Now I have to start really doing something different as the owner.
Honestly, last year when we started getting to like more physical spaces, because last year was our biggest year of growth. That was where we got the two new locations, the one up and running, and then the other new office in Niagara here. That was really the tipping point, where because my partner and I were also doing like all of the property management and things as well, right? Of course, because that's just who I am. It's like typical type A, do it all. So it was like, I feel like I can manage a lot with the business, but it's the other stuff, right? It's like, okay, now there's also needs for the physical space that we can't do. So we have an excellent property management team that helps and does all the maintenance and make sure everything is taken care of in that way. So I just don't have to worry about it. Also, I like an amazing accounting team is like really important, right? So starting to notice like the areas where now I need to build infrastructure, where it's not just Alora. It's like, okay, I can have systems beneath me that support certain areas of the business. And that's kind of where I'm moving in the direction of now, is starting to build that infrastructure. And yeah, I think maybe my advice for entrepreneurs is introduce that earlier, but the challenge is finances, right? Like paying for these positions. Really, this balance is not burning yourself out while also being able to expand as much as you can. It's a tricky line.
Now's a good time though, like with AI and the abilities it has to do all kinds of stuff, right? Like the cost of adding the infrastructure are coming down very dramatically if you figure out how to use it, right? So
I like that you brought that up.
Have you used any of that?
Yeah, I really like that you brought that up, because I just signed up for a course through the University of Waterloo on AI and business strategy. So I think that's something that I would recommend to people too, is like, rather than kind of avoid or fight very understandable technological changes, it's, we have to kind of ride it and allow for it. I go back to that acceptance piece of whether we like it or not, this is ultimately where the industry is headed. So we do have to manage and navigate some of that, right? So training and learning about it is better, in my opinion. So just that course has been really helpful for accepting it.
That's great. Yeah, I'm learning too about it. And it's like, to your point, there's some downside to it, but there's some significant upside to it.
I'm eager to see where AI heads in the future, because like you said, I think it is a very smart intern. So if I can learn more about how it's, they called it in the learning, supervised machine learning. So if I can figure out how to supervise this machine also, maybe I can give them really good support like the rest of my team. And ultimately, it's just another resource that hopefully helps.
I love that. It will never replace the work you do as a human being. the compassion, the non-judgment, the what you do every day. So you are a highly successful female entrepreneur. Congratulations, you just won a recent nomination for the Healthcare Hero Women in Business. So as you gain recognition, how do you personally define success? And what will signal to you that you've achieved it?
Such a great question, right? About what is success? Because I think how I defined success at the beginning of my career looks different than how I define success now. Because 10 years ago, it would have been something like making money and very young kind of mindset, right? And that is absolutely none of what I believe success is now, because there are so many other things that I have learned are integral to making my life worthwhile or people around me's life worthwhile. So I think success for me now lies more in the impact I have on the people around me and the waves that I create. So how people leave an interaction with me or my business, and does that ultimately make their life better? That to me is success.
And do you see yourself double, tripling? Like, have you got a perspective, local, national, international? What is your level of ambition?
Yeah, that is such a good question. Also, I'm not sure yet. That changes all the time. Because I'm like, do I go into this more social work lens of helping people and doing more like healthcare work and multidisciplinary holistic work with other practitioners? Or do I feed more of this business side of me? Because there's a part of me that's always wanted to own a restaurant. And I have some really exciting and creative ideas around that. So I'm not sure yet. It's like, do I trust myself and take this risk in another direction? Or do I continue to feed what's already growing? So I'm not really sure. I do know that we're looking at another office in Niagara because we could use the space. One of the other things that I really want to invest in is not necessarily ambition for the business, but we're looking at opening a nonprofit. So we already offer probably upwards of 50 to 100 pro bono sessions a month at our clinic. So we would like to just make some of that more official so that people can also access, like, then we're eligible for grants and then therefore more care. So that's also something I'm kind of more looking into the next couple of years. So I guess that answers maybe the social work side of me might win.
Yeah, I love it. So you have like lots of irons in the fire, and I understand you're working on a book. So maybe talk a little bit about that. Why and what would you want people to take away from that book?
So the title of it is actually, I Am a Spruce Grouse. And a spruce grouse is this really resilient, tenacious bird that I came to Alaska last year. And I was like, how the heck is this perch out in like the dead of Alaska in a national park and like surviving all these predators and these really harsh conditions? And then I thought of myself, I did that, right? Like, things were really difficult at times and I didn't think I was going to make it, but I did, despite a lot of odds and difficulties, right? So my book is like a big story of, on one side, you see this successful business entrepreneur who's killing it, crushing it. But on the other side, like, there's this deep difficulty and tenderness and trauma, right? And the story is a bit of a juxtaposition between those two identities within myself, and that I don't think we talk about the tender parts as much as we do the successful parts, and that we see business and we see success as like this image, but in background, so much more there. And I kind of want the story to be a testament of that, and also maybe just a story of hope. But even if things are really difficult, like with tenacity and with determination and with ambition and with the supports, don't know what that might turn into.
That's fantastic. Amazing. Very excited and inspired by you, Laura. Thank you for spending time with me. And that wraps up our first season of Small Business Big Impact. A huge thank you to Alora Gartley for sharing her incredible journey and experience on the intersection of mental health and entrepreneurship. Alora, your work is truly inspiring, and we're excited to see how you continue to expand your impact with Nova Phoenix Counseling and beyond.
To our listeners, I hope today's conversation gave you some fresh perspectives on how to nurture both your own well-being and that of your team while growing a meaningful business. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. And of course, if you're looking for more inspiration and tips on balancing mental health and business, be sure to check out our past episodes. Thanks again for tuning in.